You're listening to an Ancient Future podcast produced by St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm your host, Jamie Howison. This is episode 13 in our ongoing serialization of John Bodicher's book, 10 Steps on Freedom Road, Why the Commandments Are Good News. Today we come to the 10th and final commandment. The freedom of gratitude, John calls it. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, or wife, or slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. It might be the final commandment, but it's not the end of this series, because John is going to explore a little bit more the connection between Christ and these commandments. That's coming next week. For now, freedom of gratitude. John Bodicher.
Chapter 13, The Freedom of Gratitude. The 10th commandment in Exodus says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Up to this point, the commandments seem directed towards our actions, telling us what to do, honor your parents, observe the day of rest, or not to do, no killing, no stealing, etc. Now, at the end, we have one directed towards our thoughts and desires. Is this not asking too much of us? Who can perfectly control their thoughts and desires? Besides, is it not seeing what is good in the lives of our friends and neighbors that rightly shapes our own desires and efforts? This commandment seems to attack my will to succeed in life at its very source. What difference does it make if I covet my neighbor's donkey or Chevy or collection of beer mugs, as long as I do not do anything about it? This is, for sure, a hard commandment to keep. I have broken it all too often. But it is not unreasonable or life-denying. Like the other commandments, it is an important step on the path toward freedom. So let's look at it more closely. To covet means to desire to take for ourselves something that belongs to another. But what if something good in the life of a near or distant neighbor awakens in me the desire to have the same thing, or something like it but even better? For example, my neighbor has a beautiful garden. What harm is there in wanting to have an even more beautiful garden? My classmate gets really good marks. Why should I not desire to get even better ones? The answer depends upon how and why I intend to fulfill my desire. If I intend to compete with my neighbor in a way that harms his garden or impedes her academic prowess, the previous commandments already warn me off. If I desire what I see as good in my neighbor's life, so that I can feel superior to him, then we can say that I am coveting. If my awakened desire is good for both me and my neighbor, then we can rejoice in the healthy competition which results. Young children covet naturally as part of developing a sense of self. But as we mature, we realize that life is not just about me. Our capacity for desire is the natural basis of our ability to love. When we covet, our desires turn in upon ourselves, reverting to spiritual infancy. The 10th commandment is a call to grow up, to shape our desires in the direction of freedom for love and community. The commandment gives us a list of objects which we are not to covet. Why the list, and why the order of the items? Surely my neighbor's wife is more important to him than his house, people more than property. Well, the version in Deuteronomy 5 seems to think so, for it lists wife first and in a separate sentence. But there is a simplicity and clarity to the Exodus version of this commandment, which we can see if we remember that the term house, bet in Hebrew, can mean something much more than, but inclusive of, the building in which our neighbor lives. In that way, it is rather like our word church. In the narrow and common sense, A church is a building. When we say that someone goes to church, we mean that they show up at a particular building at a designated time, but we know that the expression means more than that. The designated time is a time when a community gathers to worship. In its broader and deeper sense, church means a community of people sharing a faith and the journey involved with that faith, and going to church means taking one's place in that community. In the same way, house, in its broader and deeper sense, means the totality of someone's life situation. The word is sometimes used to describe a commercial empire or an extended family. When we say that someone has lost house and home, we are saying that the whole framework of their life has been lost. So, the commandment lists the parts of house in proper order: life partner and family, job, possessions. To covet is to want all or part of a neighbor's life in a way that diminishes the neighbor. A clear example of coveting is found in the second book of Samuel, chapters 11 and 12. King David sees a beautiful woman, Bathsheba, bathing on her rooftop. He desires her to the point of arranging for the death of her husband, who happens to be one of David's bravest military leaders. David's coveting of Bathsheba leads down the path to their son Solomon, David's successor. It also leads eventually to domestic violence, civil war, and the division of the kingdom. Coveting by the leader chosen by God leads toward a loss of freedom by all the people, a path that ends in the destruction of Solomon's temple and exile. The commandment is not some private personal matter. It has massive social and political implications. As we said before, desire is the natural basis of love. To love someone or something is to focus our desire upon her or him or it. To covet is to focus my desire upon myself. But the commandments, as we have seen, can be summarized as the call to love God, the giver of life and freedom, and to love our neighbor as ourself. So, this commandment is not some effort at thought control, the ultimate restriction at the end of a list of prohibitions. Rather, it leads us back to the beginning of the commandments and shows us how they are unified. Far from restricting desire, the commandments ground our desire in its source, the gift of life itself, and lead it to maturity. We are not called to suppress desire, but to open ourselves to its breadth and depth. I am not asked to stop loving myself, but to love the neighbor as I love myself. To covet is to turn my back on the source of my freedom and to open the door to the false god More and his companions. To turn away from the immaturity of coveting is to find the thread which holds all the commandments together. Consider the kind of freedom toward which this commandment leads us. I am neighbor to someone with a better house and an apparently finer quality of life than I seem to have. I can feel miserable coveting that house and what goes on in it. What is the alternative, the way in which I can walk joyfully? Well, I could be grateful that my neighbors have been given such a gift. I could, to put it another way, be happy for them. But let's use another example. I'm hoping to be promoted in my place of work, but the latest promotion goes to a colleague. I can covet that promotion, nurture resentment against that colleague, and draw away. Or I can rejoice with her, and through that perhaps come to know that person better. In the process, I may come to realize that the cost of that promotion was too high. My colleague has given away too much of the rest of life in the process of winning the promotion, and now needs my support and friendship. Or I may come to realize that my colleague really deserved that promotion, and that the move has made my workplace better, and better for me as well. In each case, the alternative to coveting is the path of gratitude. When we look on the world around us, our first and deepest response can be gratitude for the gifts we have been and are being given. including the gift of life itself. In the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not too much, that would be asking for more, and not too little. To pray these words in faith means to trust that our prayer will be and is being answered, that we have and will have enough. It is that kind of trust that frees us for gratitude and joy. Of course, this does not mean that the world is as it should be. We are not to be blind to the needs of those around us, or imagine that we should just sit there and take whatever comes along. Injustice and evil are part of our world, and they are to be resisted. Among the gifts we are given is the gift of having the energy, imagination, resources, and community support sufficient to seek justice and resist evil in the world around us. That is one of the gifts for which we can be most grateful. Yes, we are called to work for the good of our community. But if that work arises from resentment, moralizing, and being judgmental, it will be not only ineffectual, we will be miserable while doing it. We are called to be joyful warriors for justice and peace. And that joy comes from gratitude for the gifts we have been given and will be given. Such warriors will never be victims and will always be free, no matter how long and hard the struggle.
You've been listening to a podcast in our serialization of John Bodicher's book, 10 Steps on Freedom Road, Why the Commandments Are Good News. I'd invite you to consult the show notes, where you'll find a link to the web post for this episode. And on that post, we will be including each of the episodes as they're released, so that it's easy for you to go back and pick up one that you may have missed. 10 Steps on Freedom Road, Why the Commandments Are Good News, is easily available through many booksellers, both online and the bricks and mortar sort, and a particularly affordable edition of the book in Kindle format is available through Amazon. Music for this series was provided by Steve Bell. We are grateful to Signpost for their permission to use this music. We're also grateful to John for taking the time to so carefully record these, to Kevin Grummet, Larry Campbell, and Bram Ryan, who did a lot of the background work on this audio, and to you for taking the time to listen, to think, and to dig deeper with us in these podcasts. I'm your host, Jamie Howison. Thanks for listening.